Thanksgiving, Advent, Einstein, and Alchemistry, all in this episode, number 756 of The Next Step, and we're taking it right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to a 15th season of The Next Step podcast with Father Vazgen. With these podcasts, Father Vazgen provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord, Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte. So we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Well, welcome on my behalf, too, to The Next Step. Glad you made it with us today. I'd say it's a rainy day here in Southern California. Hope wherever you're at, it's a good one. At least, at the very least, someplace comfortable where you can sit back, kick back, and spend a few minutes with us today on this first podcast of December. Can you believe December is already here? It's hard to, you know, when I heard Susie at the beginning, when it, coming over my earphones, it says, welcome to our 15th season or 15th year of doing The Next Step. Just hard to believe that 15 years have got by and now we're dealing with, okay, the whole year has gone by and we're in December. And it's almost cliched, like when you say time flies, but it doesn't when you're young, right? You can't wait. You can't wait for time to go by. I've been thinking about this whole concept now that I have grandkids. You know, 1 year for my grandson is one half of his life, you know. It's a half of his life. That's a long, long time. And you know, when we're 5 years old, to wait for 6 years old, it's like a fifth of your life. Holy moly, you know. But as you're getting older, you're talking about a 40th of your life, a 50th of your life, a 60th of your life. And yeah, it goes by quickly. Boom. Next thing you know, the year has gone by. And here we are, end of the year. It's all of this to say time is relevant, something that Albert Einstein told us about. That's another thing I've been thinking about. You know, it's like They throw this out like Albert Einstein said, E equals MC squared. And we all just sit around. We go, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. What do you know about E equals MC squared? What do we, any of us know about it? I remember talking about time. This was 15 years ago when we first started the podcast. It was Thanksgiving that we got our big break. Back in those days, back early in those days, 2008, podcasts were relatively new. There were people podcasting, but it was relatively new. And there used to be a precursor to the Apple Podcast app was Apple iTunes. I'm sure many of you remember Apple iTunes. Actually, it was the only way that you could manipulate on an Apple device your music. If you wanted to get your music, you wanted to get information, a radio show, or whatever it may be, you had to go through Apple iTunes and then get it to sync to your phone, to your computer, or whatever instrument you had to play it back. iPods, right? Yeah, iPods. You needed iTunes to join into iPods. Anyway, I digress like I always do. Anyway, it was 2008 Thanksgiving, and iTunes would feature different artists or different programs on their main page. And it was in 2008 Thanksgiving. We were one of the few podcasts that were dealing with religious. I don't know why they chose us, but it was completely random. We found ourselves on the cover of iTunes. So when you went to iTunes, yeah, there it was. The Next Step with Father Vazgen. Learn about Thanksgiving. It was a Thanksgiving message or whatever it was. But it was that weekend. I'll never forget that. It was that weekend, and all of a sudden, we just see the skyrockets, you know, just like the numbers, just like people downloading our podcast. I believe at that time streaming was still optional. It was like you had to download it, had to be on your device to listen to it. So that was during the time where we were actually burning the CDs. That was another phenomena. Some of you go back that far along. We used to burn CDs, and by subscription, we'd mail them out to you of the podcast of The Next Step. But I remember after that iTunes appeared, we got all kinds of notoriety. And there was a gentleman who wrote to me, and his name escapes me, but he did say something like that he enjoyed the podcast because we were talking about religion in rational terms. And he made mention that Einstein would talk about God often, and this was shared with his friend Frederick Dürrenmatt, I think was his name, and who is quoted as saying, "I think that Albert Einstein was a closet theologian." And that's something we've contended all along. Yeah, like if you get into the whole thing about space-time relations, you have to go. The natural next step is to find God in the middle of all that. And it was interesting. It was several years later that just by chance, I was reading a book called Driving Mr. Albert, A Trip Across America with Albert Einstein's Brain. And I came across that quote. So it was really neat. You know, some many years later, I found it. And it is true when we talk about closet theologians. I think there's so many people like that. They want to talk about God. They want to talk about esoteric ideas, talk about existential ideas. Where are we from? What are we doing? And what's this all mean? The eternal questions that all of us have. You know, like anybody who comes to this world and looks up at the heavens and sees the stars, the planets, sees the beauty and the wonder of how far it goes out. And even more so, I would say today, now that we know that what you're looking out there is literally billions of light years away, billions. And each one of those stars that we see can, in fact, be an entire galaxy. And recently, the new telescope that's up there, it's telling us exactly that. It's the Webb telescope. It's out there just bringing back images that are mind-boggling. In Armenian, we say, your mind stops when you see all this. So anyone who looks up at that has to wonder, like, you know, what is this all about? You mean, we're on this tiny, 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 relatively, I mean, we think it's giant, but tiny little planet. And there's a whole universe out there. And now they're talking about multiverses, that our universe may be one of many universes, and which kind of defies the defies the definition of universe, right? Anyway, you get the idea. It's just vast. It's vast. And your head goes to different places. So it was beautiful. I guess that letter that came to me that Albert Einstein might be a theologian, then authenticated by a personal friend of his that said, yeah, that's what he did tell me, you know. And that all began our journey on the next step, which has now gone on to for 15 years. It's just sometimes mind-boggling in itself, even beyond the stars and the universe, that we've got 15 years under our belt right now. But in any case, I'm glad you're with us today. I'm going to be sharing with you a couple ideas about where we're going. I got some announcements to make, and I think I'll start off with that because we're very, very excited about it. And second portion of today's show, I'm going to be sharing with you some Advent material that you might not get anywhere else. We are producing, as you know, on epostle.net daily shows. And ever since, I think Thanksgiving it was, or definitely, or it has to be more than a week ago, we started an entire series called Armadoxy for Today. And it's an Advent series, getting ourselves ready for Christmas. So if you haven't checked that out, make sure you check it out. That's on epostle.net. And they're short ones, nothing like The Next Step. No, you don't have to sit through 40, 50 minutes of me going on. It's actually, they're very concise, 3 or 4 minutes. And along with that, I've got another great program coming up for you on epostle. I'm having a little hard time. I think you could notice. I've been feeling a little bit under the weather, so you have to forgive me for my breathing habits. Is that a weird thing to say? Forgive me for my breathing. Anyway, but I've been congested for the last few days. I'm sure it's coming across in my voice. But another great program that we're starting off, it's going to be taking place in a couple days. You'll see it on ePostle. Over the summer, late summer, we had as our guest Dr. Ani Babayan. She came from Armenia. She participated in a few seminars. She was the guest of In His Shoes. And as a result, we also cultivated a very close friendship. She came to our cathedral and was just overwhelmed with the beauty of the cathedral and the idea that here in the States, there was a group of Armenians, and such a large group, that was identified with the faith of our forefathers, identified with the faith of the Armenian Church. And it was really beautiful for her, and she spoke about this. We had a chance to meet several times afterwards, discussing that entire idea of faith and people, and especially in a cross comparison with people in Armenia, where it's more of a familiarity. And I don't want to say familiarity breeds contempt. It's not that they're contemptuous, but familiarity makes you, it's not contempt, but it's also not appreciating the value of what you have. A lot of times we go through this with our parents, with our children, and once they're gone, then you say, oh, I should have. Last couple of days, I've done two funerals. Yesterday for a 93-year-old man, today for a 94-year-old woman. And in both cases, what was so beautiful is at the end of the service, because I knew both of them very well, both their families, and I know what kind of care they took for their parents in those final years. And, you know, the only thing I could tell them was, like, you have no regrets. Do you know how beautiful that is? You get to the end of a life of a parent, and you have absolutely no regrets. You've done everything that you can. You've honored them. You've taken care of them, even during difficult times. You've cared for them during their illness, during their suffering. You've been there and you've provided. And that, to me, is probably one of the greatest comforts in life, is to be able to put your head on a pillow at the end of a day, at the end of a lifetime, so to speak. And be comforted knowing that you've done everything that you can. Sure, there's always going to be those little regrets. Oh, yeah, we should have played one more game together. But, you know, I'm talking about the big picture, about no regrets to say, yeah, I did everything I could to make sure that this person's life was well lived, to being my participation to that celebration of life for that person. And in both cases, you know, both of these funerals, I was reminded that, you know, it's not that you only live once. You know, do everything because you only live once. No, you only die once. You live every single day, and you've got to live every single day. And in both cases, I use the parable in my homily, in my following the eulogies at these funerals. I use the parable of the talents. And, you know, the one person that Jesus condemns is the person who has his talents and then folds them into a small little handkerchief and conceals them, doesn't use them. Life is meant to be lived. And in that case, too, you know, it's like it's a matter of familiarity. If you're familiar with something, you don't appreciate it to the extent that you need to appreciate it. Whether it's parents, it's family members, friends, or just things in general, the things that you have. And so Dr. Ani returned to Armenia, and one of the things that she's been doing is she's been going to each and every one of the holy places, the holy shrines, the monasteries, the churches, the chapels throughout Armenia. She's got her dad driving her around, and she's reflecting. She's written reflections. And I was so impressed by them that a couple days ago, I called her up and I said, you know, I want to use these reflections. I need to translate them. That's the big problem. problem right now is just finding the time to translate them. But hopefully we'll get these up and running by this Monday, if not very shortly into the week, as another Advent program for you. In other words, when you come on epostle.net, you get the daily message, but also imagine going through Advent and walking through these monasteries, getting a look at these monasteries. And by the way, I'm not talking about the usual fare. I'm not talking about when you go to Armenia and you're a tourist and you look around and you say, oh, hey, there's Etchmiadzin and there's Gerart and I've been there. And oh, yeah, have you been? No, I'm talking about some remote locations that have identity, that have spread identity, that have given meaning and purpose to so many people's lives. So look for that series. I hope to launch it by Monday. Of course, all of it depends on time, which we don't even have. Didn't we just get through saying that that time went by so quickly? It's going by too quick. Hold on. Put on your brakes. Anyway, look for that series coming up. Right after the break today, I want to share with you a new venture that we've started. It's called The Alchemist. You've probably heard about it. I'm going to share with you some inside information about it. It's about some jewelry that helps Etchmiadzin get built and why I think it's so important for us to get involved in it and take note of what's going on over there. So with that, every week I play a song of the day. Those of you who've been with us, you know. Those of you who haven't, you say, well, what's this guy playing music? Well, music is just so beautiful. Let's play a song of the day. It gives you a little bit of time to digest the many things that, I mean, think about everything that we've said in the last 10, 15 minutes. I mean, we went from Albert Einstein to monasteries in Armenia and everything in between, right? Anyway, the song of the day is meant to give you a little bit of time to digest, have a meaning for this week, and then we'll be back to continue the second half of today's next step. This is my pick for today. Enjoy. Time to Heal, Armin Chakmakian. That is off of his Ceremonies album, one of my favorite albums. I mean, like, it's one of those albums where every single song is perfect. Every single note is in the right place. I just love this album. A Time to Heal, I selected this because we are starting off Advent. And we talk about Advent as preparation for Christmas. It really is time to heal, because that's what Christmas is about. It's about the healing of life, the healing of humanity, Jesus Christ coming into our lives, peace on earth, goodwill toward one another. I mean, think about it. Is there any greater healing than we could offer or can be offered to this world? And we sometimes forget that amidst all of the other things that we do during Christmas, that really is a time for healing. That's what we've been trying to do with the Advent series on Epostle. Hope you've been listening to it. But for right now, that's our song of the day. I hope you enjoyed it. I will have a link on today's show notes so you could check out not only this song, but all the wonderful music that comes out of this incredible talent, Armin Chakmakian. Back to the show. Talking about a few things, including Advent, but today on this second portion, I really want to focus in on this because it is a unique time that the church allocates for spiritual renewal. And unfortunately, it's not taken advantage of the way it, like, let's say, for instance, Lent is. Lent, almost everybody knows, probably more familiar because of such exciting things as Mardi Gras, right? Everybody knows, yeah, Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, that's just before Lent. Actually, our Lent starts a little bit before that. It starts on Monday, and it goes on all the way just before Holy Week. And if you figure out the dates for that, that's about 40 days between that Monday and the Friday before Palm Sunday. 40 days. That's Lent, okay? Then you have Holy Week, which is that Saturday all the way till Easter. Saturday, Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and then Easter Sunday. So you've got another 9 days there, okay? So when you add the 40 and the 9, and then include the one, what would be referred to in the West as the Fat Tuesday, is our Fat Sunday, or what we call Pun Pareghentan, the main day of good living. And so you've got 50 days between that day and Easter Sunday as a time of preparation. And interestingly enough, in the tradition for Christmas, we also have 50 days. It's called Advent, and the 50 days is called Hisnag. In Armenian, the word Hisun, the word for 50. That's exactly 50 days. And so I did some studying on where that 50 days starts. And interesting for me was that in the calendar of the Armenian Church, it just kind of like pops up as the first Sunday of Hisnag, the first Sunday of Advent. So it was last Sunday, and the gospel passage came to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, where we talk about, Jesus talks about the rich fool. I love this story. I've done many sermons on it. I've spoken about it many, many times. But it had a new meaning for me, because this year we incorporated it into the daily messages. So it gave me a chance to really kind of like dig in there and see what's going on. One of the most beautiful things I love about this story is here is Jesus giving this parable right after he's spoken the Sermon on the Mount. And he tells people in the sermon, he says, do not call your brother a fool. He says, do not refer to your brother as a fool. And then he gives this parable about the rich fool. It's a guy who's, you know, got everything that he wants, and he's got abundance, and he's living well off the fat of the land, and life takes a turn all of a sudden. Oh, you say, oh, we've heard of that story many times, right? Life takes a turn for the worst. No, this guy got even more. Oh, well, we've heard that one too, right? The rich keep getting richer. Well, this guy got a major windfall. He just, his crops were so many that he thought to himself, what can I do? He says, I will build bigger barns, and then I will just live, eat, drink, and be merry the rest of my life. And Jesus makes a point that that night he was called home. That was it. And he refers to this man as a fool. He was a fool because he prepared everything for himself here on earth, but nothing in the spiritual treasures in heaven. And I've had a nice time working with this because, you know, for me, it's very important, especially in Armodoxy. When we take Armodoxy and you look at what Armodoxy is all about, it's really the experience of a group of people, namely the people that define the Armenian Church. That's the group of people that are sitting there in between three continents, Asia, Europe, and Africa. You've got every barbarian, every would-be conqueror going through that area, and you're maintaining your faith. These people are there maintaining their faith, not in the sense that, oh, let's put it in a museum and wrap it up, understand Glendale, but no, let's live that faith. Maintain means that we are living that faith. Okay, it's not just something that we're putting it on display, but we're living it. Well, how do you live it? You live the gospel. The gospel is loving, is caring, is about extending yourself. And just remarkable that this small group of Armenian Christians sitting there at the base of Mount Ararat is living the gospel message. For so many centuries, they've been doing that. And what's the beauty of this is that it's untouched by other people. Because it's so isolated, it has developed on its own. Now, you know, I'm talking about up until, like I would say, the mid-19th century. So you've got a good 1600, 1700 years since the time of Christ. And then, of course, you know, you've got your Turkish problem, the Ottoman Empire. You've got Christians coming into the country who are coming there to try to evangelize the Turkish population, and then seeing these horrible atrocities against Armenians, and then going ahead and bringing them in and supporting them. You've had a lot of changes over the last 150, 200 years. So when I'm talking about this, it's not just theoretical. Yeah, there is a history to it, but it exists probably before the 19th century. Let's be safe about it, okay? Before the 19th century. But we come to now, and what do we have? Well, we do have this beautiful faith that we express through our prayers, through our hymns, through our holy traditions. And it has come to us, and now we have this opportunity to live it and to share it. Advent season is about that. The Advent season is exactly about that. It's that preparation to understand that that faith is not just a Merry Christmas. And I don't want to cheapen it by saying, oh, you know, when you go to the store and somebody says Happy Holidays, you know, smack them in the face and say, hey, this is Merry Christmas. No, that's just like a cheap excuse. It's living the experience of Christmas, living that experience that Jesus is now in our midst. When you think about it for a moment, just take a moment just to think about the intensity of this, okay? God loving the world so much that he gives his only begotten Son. He gives us Jesus Christ. And we have the birth from the Holy Virgin Mary. We have the events in Bethlehem with the stars flashing in the sky. We have all the nativity stories. We have the visit of the Magi and all that, right? You have St. John talking about, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. What? Yeah, the Word was God. Jesus Christ from the beginning. And you've got this understanding in Holy Scripture that comes through the Armenian Church to us today in the form of armadoxy. And by that I mean, yes, it's the experience that has passed through the history of barbarians coming and trying to change, but staying firm and having that faith. But not only just parading around with a word, hey, we're the first Christian nation, look at us. No, but living it in the experience. And this is why one of the most beautiful things that we do is this expression we have of feeling empathy. If you ever go to Armenia, one of the popular sayings on the streets will be tavatanem. You say something, somebody says tavatanem. Let me feel your pain. Let me take your pain. Let me understand your pain. And unrelated to those words, back in the year 2003, we got together with a bunch of young people. And at that time, I was much younger too, and able to compete. But we had a two-day get-together, a retreat. And we said, what does it mean to be an Armenian Christian today? What does it mean having survived genocide? In other words, our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents have gone through genocide. What does that mean to you? And they came up with a formula, which was beautiful. This is the Tzavatanem formula, or walking in the shoes of others, to walk along with others, to understand their pain. If you want to love somebody, first you've got to feel who they are, to walk in their shoes. And I've got to tell you, one of the most beautiful things that came out of this entire experience over the last 20 years has been that we have a community of believers now who understand that faith is not just something you wear on your sleeves. It's not just by rattling off or memorizing a few Bible verses, but it's actually living. It's actually breathing. It's actually caring. It's actually loving other people. And without conditions on who those people are. Interesting, right? Do you know that our In His Shoes ministry, not just during Christmas, but every single month, we feed the homeless. And one of the most beautiful things that comes out of that is that people sign up. I want to contribute to that. I want to feed the homeless. It's beautiful. It tells you people want to do the right thing, right? So give them the opportunity. But the number two thing about it is, inevitably, somebody, whenever we're out there in the shelters where we service, somebody will come up and say, why are you doing this? Well, yeah, I'll tell you why we're doing it. Because we want to feel your pain, because at one point we were indigent. We were without homes. And nobody really cared. Nobody asked us, how are you doing? Nobody cared about us to give us that meal. So what does that mean? We sit back and we say, well, nobody cared for me, so I'm not going to care? No, I mean just the opposite. Nobody cared for me, therefore I will care for others. And that's what In His Shoes is about. And so whenever we get to this Advent, this period of Advent, it's important for me to make that connection between In His Shoes and who we are as the actual Christian response to the faith that we have. I mean, I see this all the time, people just loving our church, loving the faith. But you know what? It has to be lived. It's not just about, oh, I love the music. I love the prayers. I love the saints. These people were all doing something to advance the kingdom, to make the kingdom real in our lives. And this is an important message of the Advent season. If you are going to approach Jesus Christ at the nativity, at the theophany, at the birth and revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to be approaching them, it can't be a, hey, Merry Christmas, Christos Zanavivad Nitzav, Christ is born and revealed, you know. I always get people coming up to me. Inevitably, you know, in the Armenian tradition, we greet each other on Christmas. Christ is born and revealed. So they'll come up to me and they'll try it in Armenian. Christos Zanav. And they'll mumble through it and everything. And God bless them. I tell them, that's so beautiful. Yes, you've got the words down perfectly. Because after all the uhs and the mumblings and everything, they get the words down perfectly. But that's not what it's about. It is not what it is about. That's just the art of, that's just the superficial part of the Christmas message. Christ is born and revealed. Yeah, that's nice. But what does it mean that he's born and revealed? It means that he is reconciled. It means that he walked in our shoes. He came and he put his feet in the shoes of humanity to understand our pain, to understand what we're going through. And now we have an obligation to do the same. That's the Christian response. And earlier I was telling you that, I think 2008 was it, when we were discovered by iTunes at that time. And the guy who wrote to me, that was one of the things that he mentioned in there, that he liked that we were bringing a rational approach and a scientific. And it occurred to me that, you know, that's been a running theme, that why should Christianity be exempt from all of the rules that we have for nature, for life? And one of the important rules of nature, for every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. Ah, yeah, okay. So if God loved us so much, don't we have to do an opposite and equal reaction to that? Well, how can you do that? How could you pay God back for such a beautiful gift as eternity, as the love of Jesus Christ? How can you pay him back? Simple. Do unto others. Love others. Care for others. That's all he's ever asked us to do. And I say that's all because, you know, we complicate it. It's very easy. Remember John Lennon? Imagine there's no boundaries, no religion, nothing to live or die for. Imagine that. Imagine if we can see each other, people, as ourselves. If we can look at our brothers, our sisters in this world, and not see them as black, white, as Muslim, Christian, but see them as human beings, as children of God. And that's how Jesus saw us and sees us. That's how Jesus understood us and understands us. We're the ones who complicate it by putting different descriptors, assigning labels to people, assigning this is that, this is this way, or this is that way. When Jesus doesn't do that, God doesn't do that. You know, this is one of my things with when we read the Old Testament and these stories. You know, people get this idea that somehow God is favoring one people over another. No, you can't do that. I mean, that story about, you know, going through the Red Sea, you know, and then the Egyptians being under the waves. I mean, it makes you believe that, okay, somehow the Egyptians, there's something wrong. I never forget when I was just a priest, a brand new priest. You know, sometimes people talk about the story of Vartanans, about how the Vartans went after the Persians and how the Armenians won the Persians. I remember these stories. You know, you've probably heard them. And I remember this one little boy, his family had come from Iran. He comes up to me and he goes, dead-eyed, Father Boskin, why doesn't God like the Persians? Why doesn't he like the Iranians? And it just hit me like, yeah, well, the way we're telling the story, you would believe that God is playing favorites. Instead of telling a story and drawing from there that here we have an obligation and a responsibility to be the disciples of Christ, and Christ was not a warrior. Christ was somebody who came and preached the love and peace for this world. Why aren't we doing that? Instead, we tell these stories And in telling these stories, we draw more and more problems between people. In fact, a 100-year journey, when we did that a few years ago, that was one of the greatest challenges that we had. Greg Bailarian and I were involved in a very big project, and we went school to school. We met with over 1,000 students in the Los Angeles area. Many of them were Armenian. And here's a challenge. Think about this. Try to talk about the genocide without inciting more hatred. It's difficult. You're going to be telling somebody that the Turks massacred and killed 1.5 million Armenians, and you think somebody's not going to get upset? You think you're not going to incite more hatred? It was a very difficult challenge, but we rose to that. We presented a conversation rather than just throwing out details. We presented a conversation where people were starting to think about how do we get over the hatred? Because it doesn't help to just spew out more hatred. This is what the world is filled with. This is what we hear about everywhere. The Christian has to rise above that, and say, yes, I'm going to talk about something else. And namely, that's love. That's pure Armenian Orthodox theology, armodoxy. St. John the Evangelist says God is love. It's not a God that hates, it's God is love. I don't see how you can get wars out of that. You see, when you start throwing everything in God's hand, then it's easy. You say, okay, God's responsible for this. And then you've thrown off responsibility. So, well, it's not our problem. God wants war. God makes war. No, he doesn't. God is love. The evangelist says that. Okay? St. Nersa Shnor Ali says, the name of love is Jesus. Seranun Jesus. So you've got, if God is love and love is Jesus, well, again, let's go back to mathematics. A equals B, B equals C, therefore A equals C. And B equals C, and B equals A, and A equals C, and so on and so on, right? It's an interchangeable God, love, Jesus. You have it there. And when we talk about Jesus as the center of our Christianity, Christian faith, it's got to be about love. It's not about more hatred. It's about understanding, about having compassion. Because on Christmas Sunday, that's what we celebrate. The ultimate compassion in the universe. That in this entire universe, that when you're looking up and you see all the stars and you see those billions and you see those galaxies and everything, the creator of this universe loved us so much that he gave us his very best, Jesus Christ. And how do you say, okay, thank you for this beautiful gift? By doing unto others. By celebrating life with others. And it's not more complicated than that. A lot of times I hear people who try to build on to it, build on by taking stories from the Old Testament and telling you this and that, and this is what it means. You know, we got to get over this idea that this is what it means. What it means is already spoken to us, and it has been transferred to us, not by me. But I'm just one of the agents of what we call Armenian Orthodoxy, the Armenian Orthodox Church, untouched by anybody else. And this is why it's so remarkable that you go into an Armenian church and you listen to the prayers and you listen to the hymns. Can you imagine how many times the priest turns around during a normal liturgy, just an everyday liturgy, and says, peace unto all? Isn't that wild? What do you mean, peace unto all? This is a guy who doesn't even know, hasn't even experienced peace. The whole history has been filled with violence, with killing, raping, with all kinds of inconceivable violent activities. Because everyone's gone through that land. Yet, he turns and he says, peace unto all. Well, maybe that peace is something greater. Greater than what we could imagine. And that's what the invitation to Advent is about, is to find that. So that when you stand there on Christmas Sunday and you're looking at Jesus Christ being born in the manger, it's not just, oh, well, that's nice, that's sweet. Yeah, Merry Christmas. How do you say it? Christos Zanavia Vainitsav. Oh, yeah, I've got it down. No, it's living it. It's living that Jesus Christ is born and revealed and among us. And so I'm inviting you, get involved with this Advent season. Like I said, every day we've got brand new shows. If you haven't joined it yet, go on epostle.net. There's a page. In fact, I'll have everything we talked about today. I'll have links on today's show notes. So just go to the show notes and you'll have the links there. I'm going to call it a day right now. Let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back to give you some parting shots and we'll call it a day, okay?
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you, all of you, for all the love, support, and the words of encouragement. But mostly, thank you for your prayers. They go a long way in making this podcast and our entire Epostle experience into a reality. Hey, I want to point you to something really exciting, something new that we just launched. And this is Carolyn Rafaelian. I'm sure you're familiar with her. Her new jewelry company is called Metal Alchemist. And it's partnering with Cher and Eric Israelian. And the funds for this are going to restore Etchmiadzin, the center of Armenian Orthodox faith. And this is something really close to my heart. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes. I'd love it if you'd read about it. You get familiar with it. And I'll even have a little video on there. Why is Etchmiadzin important? Do you know that a few years ago you all heard about Notre Dame being having caught on fire? Do you remember that? I can't remember what year it was. I want to say 2018. Notre Dame, it caught on fire. The world knew about it. Now, tragic as that was, the oldest cathedral in the world happens to be Etchmiadzin. And it is in need of repair, in need of restoration. And they've been doing quite a bit over the past few years, but it's still a lot more is necessary. And this project, the Alchemist Jewelry, is going to benefit that. And I'd love it if you'd read about it. We'll see about it in the next few weeks, doing a special show right about it. But for today, I just wanted to tell you that the link will be on today's show notes. There'll be a few other things. Do check them out and just get involved. Get involved. I'm very, very about this. Like I said, just came out. So a lot of new things are going to be popping up in the next few days. Let's see, in the weeks to come, we'll be at the cathedral celebrating the Divine Liturgy on the 11th of this month. And of course, we've got Christmas and Advent season, all kinds of programming at epostle.net. Really easy to remember, that's Apostle with an E. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. So with that, let's call it a day. Thank you very much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of Susie, our producer, and myself, this is Father Vazgen. Looking forward to seeing you on the net throughout the week and again next week when we will take the next step.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.